are here today on the Feast of the Ascension, the end of the 40 days of appearing of the risen Christ, and the story in Luke, how Jesus is taken back up to heaven, which is the story that we hear in the reading from Acts today. So I want to reflect a little bit on this. To start, I will confess I've not been sleeping particularly well lately. I've got a few things on my mind, and that has made me maybe more familiar than I really want to be with the hours of, say, 2 to 4 in the morning. Yeah. And it's given me a lot of chance to see what Netflix has to offer. And as you know, if any of you stream Netflix, it's much like sort of looking at the bargain bin, old DVDs at Albertsons. You know, see, not exactly first-run movies. So I came across an old Jeff Bridges movie earlier this week, the movie Starman. Any of you ever seen Starman?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sure. So the story basically is of an extraterrestrial, a figure who crashes on Earth and takes upon himself the body of a woman's recently deceased husband. And they have a brief relationship before he is rescued and taken back to his people so that he can return to his extraterrestrial home. And so he departs. But before he does, he says to the woman, "I have given you a baby, and the child will know everything that I know. And when he grows to manhood, he will be a teacher." So you have this sense of this extraterrestrial figure coming to Earth and imparting to us something that is of a higher order of understanding than we now experience. And, I mean, it doesn't take much of a theologian to see that this is a kind of replay of the Christ story. Someone coming from beyond, giving a child to a mother who is to tend the child, who will, when he grows to manhood, become a teacher. Now, I do not, I know we're being recorded, so this will get down if someone accuses me later. I am not saying that the Jeff Bridges movie tells the Christ story, or that Jesus was an extraterrestrial. I'm not saying that. You've got to anticipate misunderstandings. Not saying that Jesus was an extraterrestrial. I'm saying that when I look at the movie Starman, there is something that awakens in me some of that deep yearning for teachers to appear on this earth. I'm not saying Jesus was like Starman. I want Jesus to be at least as much as Starman. That the kind of wisdom that was only hinted at, this advanced, benevolent creature come briefly to human life and saying, I will share this wisdom. I want us to hear the story of Jesus as being at least that much. That at least as much as this movie Starman, we are telling the story of the man of heaven. Heaven not as a place. I mean, the ancient imagination spoke of it as a physical place and rising and coming down. We think of heaven more as a dimension or as a realm, especially for us, of meaning. The heavenly realm, I mean, what heaven, not so much a place, and especially not only a place that we are trying to get to after we die, but rather the way of being, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven being a way of being, a way of living, a way of experiencing oneself that is higher, that is wiser than we know right now. I want us to hear at least that much in the Jesus story, that Jesus represents and embodies and shares with us a wisdom about how we are to live. And he sees us, you know the images, like sheep without a shepherd, confused, running around, anxious, fretting over things that are not very important, and being indifferent or oblivious to things that are really important. You know my phrase, straining out gnats and swallowing camels. He sees us as being anxious and frightened and harmful to ourselves and each other. And the way of heaven signifies a way that is our release from that, a way that is more tranquil, more peaceful, more grounded in our actual situation, not so afraid. Now, did the disciples really understand very much of this? In Acts, it would seem not. Is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? As if they're still thinking that Israel is to be restored as a political entity. They're going to get rid of the Romans. They're going to, recover their national dignity. They're not going to be an occupied nation. Of course, that's not really how Jesus understood the mission of Israel or his own mission. It was not a political restoration. Israel, in a sense, was the gateway. The gateway through whom knowledge of the one true God. See, he gets excited when I talk about this. Because he knows. Israel, not as a political entity, but as the gateway to the world's knowledge of the one true God. Israel as the gateway to the higher knowledge of heaven. The way of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, God's way, the way that helps us see that we are already brothers and sisters to each other, that we already belong to God's creation, that we really don't need to be so anxious, that we don't especially need to be so acquisitive for ourselves. All of these things are kind of the features of the heavenly way as Jesus laid them out. And I want us to remember that he is our teacher. He speaks from a higher perspective, and I hope all of us have at least glimpsed that higher perspective, even if we forget it and we fail over and over and over again to put it into practice. Nonetheless, it's there for us. It's part of the reason we gather here, to remember what during the week we have forgotten. The disciples also wanted to know the time. And Jesus said, nobody knows the time. That is in God's own time. I've actually had the privilege of, I say it sort of ironically and even sarcastically. I was killing time in Great Falls 20 years ago, and on Sunday morning went to an Assembly of God church where the pastor had the unfortunate task of explaining to his congregation why his prediction that the world was going to end the night before had not come to pass. Boy, don't put it down in writing. But he actually tried to sort of extricate himself by a fairly tortured explanation having to do with daylight savings time. Now it threw his calculations off. Anyway, the impulse to try to fix dates and times seems to be a part of us. Jesus would say, you can't know the big picture. You can't know when the world is going to end. I mean, in a sense, we know the world is going to end. I mean, I've said that New Yorker cartoon a few times here, where the guy comes running into the first frame and going, the sun is burning out! And the guy says, yeah, but that's not for like 3 billion years. He says, oh, I thought it was 3 million years. We don't know the big picture. We don't know the big picture even in our own lives. None of us here today really knows what 2 o'clock this afternoon is going to bring. And we don't like to look at that particularly, but it's the truth. And most of the time, things unfold with relative predictability, but not always. And it is always a good thing to remember, as Jesus was saying to his disciples, those things are out of your control. Don't even concern yourself. What you have is the commission to be my witnesses. And you will get power from on high. You'll get heavenly power. That's the promise that Jesus leaves his disciples with. You can't know certain things, but you will be clothed with power from on high to be my witnesses, which is where I'm going to leave us. That's what we are, clothed with power from on high. But typical of Jesus as a heavenly figure, what kind of power did he use? This has been a huge confusion for the church always, because from the days of St. Augustine onward, where St. Augustine started to use military force to compel people to sort of toe the line as to what, you know, Christian doctrine ought to be. We have been, since those days and maybe earlier, we have confused the power of Jesus with a more earthly kind of power. And the earthly kind of power is basically, and I know what you should do, and I'm going to tell you, and if you resist, I will make you do what I think you should do. Does that sound like Jesus? I mean, that's the Jesus I know, isn't it? You're not even going to shake your head. Thank you. You know, Jesus did not use power in a way to force anybody to do anything. If we are to be clothed from on high with power, the only power we have is to appeal to your freedom and to help you wake up to your freedom and to your true situation as a beloved child, a beloved daughter of God, and then to act in ways that are appropriate to that. It's the only power we have. And believe me, if you've ever loved somebody who is in trouble and you wish with all your heart that you could do something for them in a way that didn't depend on that weakness of Jesus, you will know that this power is hard on us. It's hard to exercise the power when you've got someone you love and you're trying to help them, but all you can really do, all you can ever do is what Jesus did, which is to appeal to their freedom and say, don't you know who you are? Don't you know who you are? Remember and be faithful to that and live in ways that are appropriate who you actually are, God's beloved daughter, God's beloved son. It's the only power we have. But that's what we give witness to. That's what changes the world. And that's, it's funny to say, that's all Jesus left us with. And I would have to say, that is enough. That is enough. Amen.
Amen.